to see everyone here this evening. I have certainly enjoyed my time with you all. You are every bit as good as Shane and Mike Pittman have both told me, so I have enjoyed being with you. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And place your bookmark there. That will benefit you throughout the lesson this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? Sadly, you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling, you'll fall on your knee, facing the sentence of life or of death. What will that answer be? What will that sentence be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free, washed in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. We sing that song and we read this verse. That is the reality of our existence. All of what we do in this life culminates to that day. It ends at that point. Someday we'll stand before God in judgment. Someday we'll look upon our Lord and our Creator. We will hear, "Well done, good and faithful," or we will hear, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now, as sobering as it is to think that we will stand before them, before God in judgment, as terrifying as that may be as an idea, our children will stand there too. Our children will stand before God and look upon the Creator. Someday they'll stand at the bar on high. Someday their record they'll hear. Someday they'll have to answer the questions of life. We've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared for that inevitable day for ourselves. We've got to know the questions of life. We've got to know how to answer them. It's for our own benefit that we do that. But also, we need to work diligently to make sure that our children are prepared to answer those same questions of life. One day we'll stand before the throne of God and look upon Him in His glory. What will we say? I've got three things I want you to consider this evening that a prepared parent is. First and foremost, a prepared parent is tough. Now, I want you to think about how tough we need to be as parents. We need to be tough enough to go against the flow. I want you to think, everybody remembers Moses, but there's one woman in the life of Moses that Moses would not exist if it was not for her. Jochebed. Do you remember Jochebed? In Exodus chapter 2, the mother of Moses. There's a woman that's tough. She was tough enough to go against the flow of the world. Go over to Romans, the 12th chapter, if you please. Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now I want you to notice verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to think just for a moment how tough Jochebed really was. She wasn't going to conform to the world. You know what the world was telling her to do? Report baby Moses so that he could be thrown in the Nile River with the rest of the Hebrew boys. She was tougher than that. She gave birth to a little boy with little to no one knowing, and hides this little baby for 3 months. I'm going to tell you something. That's tough. Then, if you don't think that's tough enough, then she takes this baby
and she goes to the river and she sets that baby in that basket, and then she has the strength to turn him loose. And he ends up in just the right spot. That wasn't an accident, folks. That's because she's tough. She was tough enough to send that baby where the baby needed to go. Being raised in the household of Pharaoh, she was tough. Folks, we've got to be tough. We've got to be tough as moms and dads. We've got to be tough enough to say, no, you're not. Period. You're not going to wear that outfit. Let me tell you something. I don't care what the world is doing. Did you notice that in Romans 12? You're not conformed to this world. Why? Because you are transformed. You're changed. You're not the way this world operates, so you don't dress the way this world dresses. You don't go the same places that everybody else in your friend circle is going. In fact, maybe we've got to be tough enough to say you're not going with those people. Everybody else is going. My friends are going. I know, hon. You're not. You remember the statement of Joshua? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? I don't care what the rest of the world's doing. I don't care if all of these people are doing what they want to do and they're going where they want to go and they're dressing the way they want to dress and they're speaking the way they want to speak. Not in my house. We've got to be tough enough to say, no, you're not. Period. We need to be tough. Tough enough to say, no more. We're too busy. We've got too many responsibilities as it is, and we're not taking on anymore. We've got a culture today where everyone's busy. We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off. You know the statement. You know the phrase. We're running about with no purpose. We're busy, 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 but we are accomplishing nothing. We're busy. We're so busy with nonsense that we're negligent of necessities. Folks, we've got to be tough enough to say no more. No more sports. I know that our culture today says you're a horrible parent if you don't have 14 soccer practices in a week. But you know what? We've got to be tough enough to say no more sports. We've got to be tough enough to say no more homework on the days that it needs to be said. Education is an important thing. I don't want to minimize that. But at some point, we've got to draw the line and say, you know what's more important? Bible class. You know what's more important? A nightly Bible reading. We've got to be tough. We've got to be tough enough to say no more work. You know, I had a background when I worked on a ranch. I worked a lot of hours. At some point, you've got to just sit back and say, enough's enough. It's more important for me to be with my family. It's more important for me to be at services. It's more important to be studying God's Word or worshiping with my family. We've got to be tough enough to say no more. While the culture around us keeps giving more of the things of this life, and they want more activities, and they want more hours, and they want more from you, and more from your family, we've got to be tough enough to say no more. No more. We've got to stop and reprioritize our lives. We've got to be tough enough to spend time in the Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates day and night. What do your children see? You delight in. Now it's fine and good to delight in many things in this world, but what's the one thing your children watch you do the most? Well, I watch a lot of Thunder basketball. Which I don't. I don't watch Thunder basketball. It makes me a bad Oklahoman. But I live in Texas now anyway, so it doesn't matter. Your children see you really, and I mean truly, delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in that book day and night. Is that what your children see? Or do they see your priorities misplaced? Folks, they learn by our example. And if we make a priority of studying God's Word, we make a priority of gathering around the old kitchen table that nobody eats at anymore. If we make a priority to gather around that and talk about God's Word, folks, we're getting tougher, and we need to get tougher. We've got to be tough enough to be restrictive. What does God expect for us, His own children? Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says that we ought to walk humbly with our God. Jesus says it in such a way in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, what does he say? Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, we talked about that Sunday night. Following, that's tough work. That's a life of commitment. That's a life of dedication. That's a life of hard labor. It is a restrictive life. It means we don't speak the ways in which we used to. It means we don't wear those same tight-fitting outfits that everybody else wears. It means we don't wear those inappropriately covering ourselves in this world. We don't do those things because we pursue holiness. We're restrictive. Let me tell you something. It is tough. It's tough to attend every service. It is. It's tough. It's tough to be here every Sunday morning on time for Bible class. It's tough to be here every Wednesday night without fault on time. It's tough to do that. You know what else is tough? Saying no to the same sin time after time. Turning down that same temptation. It's tough to work through those early years of marriage too. It's tough to raise children. I've got two of them at home. Those little boogers are tough. It's tough work. But folks, we don't want to teach our children to only do things when they're easy or because they're easy. You know why? Because they'll never finish school. They'll never work it out with the spouse. They'll never see a 5-year anniversary. They won't make it because it's tough. They'll never turn from a single temptation or a single sin. We've got to prepare them better than that. I spoke to a friend the other day. He's got two sons. They came on a Sunday night, and this is the first time in a long time. And I texted him. I said, I was really encouraged by you guys. Really appreciated you guys being there. And he said, we enjoyed being there, but man, it's tough. Well, yeah, it's tough. But you don't want to teach them just to be Christians because it's easy. They'll never be Christians. They'll never serve God because serving God is not easy. It's tough work. What we've got to do is rise to the challenge and be tough ourselves, so that we can set the example. Give them something to follow. Give them something to look up to. God expects us to teach our children to serve Him. I love studying the Old Testament. When you look at Samuel, the great prophet of God who ministered to the Lord even as a child, you think about that. You go and study the great kings of the Old Testament and how Josiah, one of the few good kings of ancient Israel, of Judah, came to the throne at 8 years old. I'll tell you what, that's a tough kid. But he was a good king and a servant of God at that. I want you to go back to the Old Testament, if you please, to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're going to do a lot of turning and reading in Deuteronomy, so just be prepared for that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to look at verses 9 and 10. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Jump over to chapter 6, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. That you may learn, or that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your sons and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Chapter 6, down in verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13, he says, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him. And shall take oaths in His name. Down in verse 24 of chapter 6. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Jump over to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 6. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to fear Him. Jump over to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Down in verse 20, he says, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him alone, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Go towards the end of the book, chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law, Deuteronomy 28, 58, all the law, all this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. And the last one I want you to look at, Deuteronomy 31, verses 9. Beginning. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priest and the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all of Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is even within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. What do you think he's trying to say? And by the way, I left several passages out. What do you think he's trying to say? Folks, we've got to be tough. Tough enough to teach the fear of God. I love that statement back over in chapter 4. You teach your children, you teach your grandchildren, they need to know those things in which you've seen, those things in which you've heard. And he says, verse 10, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. You know what he's talking about? You remember in Exodus 19 and Exodus 20, when God brings all the people of Israel to the foot of Mount Sinai. Those people gathered together to receive the commands of God. And when God goes to speak, the mountain shakes, and it's the fire and the smoke and the lightning pouring forth. You remember how the people reacted? They were terrified. They were scared to approach the mountain of God. They told Moses, you go and speak to him. We can't hear his voice lest we die. You know what he's telling them throughout Deuteronomy? Don't forget how you felt that day. Don't forget to teach your children and your grandchildren. Don't forget to instruct them on how to fear God. You know, we try to water that down a little bit in our culture today. We don't want to really think about fearing God. So we talk more about, let's just respect God. Let's just reverence God. Absolutely, all of those things, for sure. But folks, let's fear God. Let's stand before him in awe at the power and might that he is capable of. Let's look on him and tremble, understanding where we stand before him. Look at him and know he is an awesome and powerful God who is capable of great things. We need to teach the fear of God to our children. When we will truly fear God in the way we should, it will bring us to reverence him. It will bring us to respect him. It will bring us to honor him. And folks, it will bring us to serve him. Paul told the brethren in Galatia, in the South Galatian area, in chapter 5 and verse 6. Circumcision, uncircumcision, those things don't matter in Christ. What matters, Paul? Faith working by love. Folks, our fear of God ought to drive us to love him and serve him. But folks, we've got to be tough. We've got to be tough. A prepared parent is not just tough, but determined. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What's your goal? Maybe as an individual, but even as a parent or grandparent, what's your number one goal? I want for my little girls, I want them to have a good education. I really do. I want them to be financially secure. I want that for my children. But is that all? Is that all we really want for our kids? Because, folks, if that's all we want for our kids, hey, they may get that. But they'll lack so much more. I hope we have our standards set a little higher than just that, because I will tell you, the most brilliant mind on earth, if they have not chosen to serve God on the day of judgment, will be the biggest fool. You take the person who is richer than any man alive, more money than they know what to do with, times 10. That will be the poorest soul on the day of judgment if they have not served Christ. I know we know that in principle. Do we know it in application? We're going to stand before Christ in judgment. I hope our goal is to get to heaven. I hope that's the number one thing that I want. Above anything else in this life, I want to go to heaven. Do your children see that too? That mom's greatest ambition, or dad's greatest ambition, above anything else, is to get there. The rest of this stuff is fun, but it's not what life's about. I want you to notice, we stopped at verse 10. But Paul continues his thought. In 2 Corinthians 5, he talks about this coming of the day of judgment, that each one will receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. Knowing the terror of the Lord. On that final day, when that trumpet sounds, when we are called to the foot of Christ, and we look upon the throne of God in its splendor, in its magnificence, when you have to stand and give those answers to the questions of life, what are you going to say to Him? What are you going to say to the King on His throne? What are you going to say to the Lamb of God that was slain for your sins? When He asked you, why didn't you serve me? Why didn't you give me all? Why didn't you make me a priority? What answer could you give Him? What thing could you say that would make it okay? Look upon the Lamb of God that was hung on a cross because you and I aren't good enough. What are you going to say to Him? Folks, that's a terrifying day. That's why Paul talks about it. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Folks, I want to have the answers. And I want my children to have the answers. I want to help them. I want to help them stand before Him and it not be the great day of terror, but the great day of joy. Notice that statement he makes. He says, because of the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Are we doing our job persuading? Now, Paul's talking about it even from an evangelistic perspective, but I'm not talking about it from that perspective. You see, we talk about evangelistic efforts. We pray that God may open doors of opportunities, but then we close our minds off to the very opportunities in our own home. Those precious souls that God has given to us. Are we persuading them? Well, I know we'll run this. We'll persuade them with this all we can. By the way, I'm talking about the mouth. Are we trying to persuade them by the way we live? Are we trying to persuade them by the way we talk, by the way we dress? Are we trying to persuade them by the way we show up for Bible class, by the way we show up for worship, without fail, are we persuading them?
We've got to be determined. We've got to be determined above all things in this life to serve Him faithfully and fully. We've got to be determined to prepare them for judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every one of us will stand before Him. To each one of us, we'll give an account of ourselves to God. We will stand looking upon the throne and have to have the answers. Every one of us as a parent. My children aren't at that age yet, but when those kids start getting into tests in school, they've got a big test coming up on Friday. What are you as mom and dad doing all week long? Y'all's at the kitchen table, you're relearning math. You're relearning algebra because, in my case, I didn't know it very well to begin with. So you're relearning all week to try to help them prepare for that one test at the end of the week. Folks, we got a bigger test than algebra coming up. Are we helping them get the answers? Are we helping them be prepared?
We've got to prepare them to follow Jesus Christ. Which brings me to the next point. We've got to be determined ourselves to follow Christ. If you desire to come after Him, you've got to set aside your cross. You've got to pick up your cross. You've got to set aside the things of your life. You've got to take and put your foot in front of one after the other and follow. Pursue Him. Chase after Him. Leave nothing behind and go. Only then can you be found faithful. We've got to be determined.
Had Jochebed not been determined, where would Moses have been? Well, he'd have been in the bottom of the Nile River, folks. Had Hannah not been determined, Samuel would have never been born. Had Lois and Eunice not been determined, we wouldn't have 1 and 2 Timothy. He wouldn't have been a preacher. We've got to step it up, and we've got to be determined. Determined. The greatest goal in life is the humble and submissive service to the name of Christ. That's it. That's the number one focus of life, serving Christ.
We've got to fixate our minds on that goal and be determined to run the race with endurance. That's why Paul talks so often about the faith being a run of race. No Olympic competitor gets on the track without any practice, without any determination, without any preparation, and runs and does anything worth it all. Sorry, they just don't. This is hard work. It's dedicated work. It's a lot of sweat and tears and heartache. But we've got to rise to the challenge. A prepared parent wise as well. We've got to be wise enough, just like Jochebed, to set the right standards. Jochebed wasn't going to hold herself to the standards of the world around her. And thank God that she didn't. She was wiser than that. We've got to take and hold ourselves and hold them accountable to the Word of God. We've got to take and not be overly harsh, but set the standards to what God's are. Let me tell you something. It's hard enough to be a Christian. Let's not make it harder on them than it has to be. We need to hold them to God's standards. That day when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, we will each receive what we have done. We'll hear the things of good or bad, but it will all be by what we have done. Are we working to hold them to the standard God will hold us to? I heard it put like this before. As the end of life comes, so comes the test. But God, in His rich wisdom and mercy, has given us the cheat sheet. He's given us the answers. All we've got to do is live by it. Look to it. Help our children understand it. Make sure we understand it ourselves. We've got to be wise enough to parent the same way our Father in heaven. Loving them, being gracious and forgiving. Part of that being wise and holding them to God's standards and fathering after His example is encouraging and nurturing. Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 that we are to discipline and instruct. But far too many emphasize one instead of the other. So you have children that grow up and they get all the discipline in the world, but they get none of the instruction that should have came with it, and they don't know why they're being disciplined the way they are. Or they receive all of the instruction, but they have no discipline in the home. We've got to strike the balance where we discipline, but we also instruct. We also have to be wise enough to turn loose and let go. I want you to look over at Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea the 11th chapter. To me, this is one of the more gut-wrenching passages in all the Bible. Hosea, the 11th chapter, and verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals, burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king. Because they refused to repent. And the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you up like Zeboam? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. You know what God is saying? God is saying that I took Israel and I formed them. I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. I brought them up out of the bondage the Egyptians had placed upon them. God is saying that while Israel was a child, I was the one who taught them how to walk. I was the one who stooped down and held them by the hand and led them through the wilderness and led them through trials and tribulations. It was I that stooped in and fed them and nurtured them and loved them. But they grew up and left. They grew up and forsake their father. I'm going to tell you, that's a gut-wrenching passage where God pours out His heart over what His unfaithful son has done. We get a flicker of time with children. At some point they grow up and they're their own. We've got to do everything we can in that little bitty bit of time we get. We've got to do what's right. We've got to do everything we can. But let me also stress this. So many parents, their children grow up and they become adults themselves and they make decisions that lead them into the darkness of this world. You think God was a perfect father? I do. And yet Israel still left him. You can do everything right and they'll still grow up and make their own decisions. But what you can do after they make their own decisions is live with no regrets. I'm going to burn that light so bright. They may wander about in this darkness. They may be in this world of sin and destruction and decay, but my light of Jesus Christ will burn so bright they won't be able to help but see it. And maybe,
just maybe, they'll come back to God. They'll come back to Him because you're letting His light shine.
We've got to be wise. I love the song we sing with the little children. The wise man built his house upon the rock. No, I'm not going to do all the hand signs either. You can forget that. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood still. The song continues to say, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. One final thought for you. We've got to be wise enough to help build on the right foundation. The only foundation in this world is that of Jesus Christ. The best we can do to prepare them for the day of judgment, the best thing we can do to prepare them for the rains and the storms and the hardships of this life is to help them build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It does seem discouraging in this world, and it seems like it can't be done, but let me tell you this. It absolutely can be done. Are you prepared for the day of judgment? And just as importantly, are you helping your children prepare? Let me tell you, we've got to be tough. We've got to be determined. We've got to be wise. Are you ready to give answers to Him? As the song says, if not, now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. To be washed in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. If we can help you, if he's not been your answer before, now's the time. We can help you. We can get him. We can baptize you in his name for the remission of your sins and set you on the right path. And if you've done that before and need help, we'd love to help you. If we can help you in some way, we'd ask you to come now. As we stand and as we sing.